Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to continue a lesson that we started last month, just a two-part series on Jesus' teaching on evangelism. You may remember that last month we talked about Jesus' teaching here in Matthew chapter 10 in verses 1 through 11 or so, and that Jesus was involved in evangelism. And that he taught his disciples to go out and to evangelize as well. And of course, Jesus wants all of us to be involved in evangelism also. When we look at Jesus' teaching on evangelism in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 1 through 11, we remember that Jesus wants us to get other people involved because Jesus got other people involved. We remember that Jesus sometimes set particular limits on evangelism and targeted specific groups of people. Jesus also had a message that he gave his disciples, and he gave them that message, teaching, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he gave his disciples something to do, and that's something that we are given to do as well, going out and helping people. And then he taught his disciples to trust in God as they go out and as they evangelize the world around them. They were not to take all kinds of things with them, but they were to depend upon the kindness and generosity of those around them. Well, Jesus continues these lessons in Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 42. And we're going to talk about four more lessons in regard to personal evangelism that Jesus has to teach us this morning. And the first lesson that Jesus gives us in verses 11 through 15 is that we need to know how to deal with objections. Now look at what Jesus says here, and starting in verse 11. And this is Matthew chapter 10 and verse 11. "Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a house, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." You know, Jesus anticipated that there were going to be objections to his teaching. And in fact, he anticipated that people were going to reject those who sought to evangelize others in his name. And this is just a fact of evangelism. Now, there are objections and then there are objections. And Jesus talks about both kinds here. Many objections are simply requests for more information. People who object sometimes really want to learn more about the study, learn more about what's being taught before they come to make a decision. And we need to use wisdom and discernment when we're talking to others. People may object because they're looking for more specialized information. And we need to treat those requests with care. Sometimes people may want to do further study on a topic or subject, and they may have an objection, what seems to us to be an objection, but really it's more of a question. And we need to be ready to address those questions by giving information, or perhaps we can get specialized information in tracts or books or things of that nature and present that material to those who are objecting. But then there are other objections as well of those who really are not interested and do not want to receive the gospel. Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 3 through 9. It was the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, basically he says that there are some who are going to reject the gospel. And then there are some who are going to receive it and then aren't going to practice it or going to leave it behind. And then there are others, and that will be the smallest of number, who will receive it and who will practice it and who will love it. In verse 3 of Matthew 13, Jesus says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. That's the ones who simply do not listen to the word, who reject it as soon as they get it. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. These are the ones who initially received the word, but then because of persecutions and distress and other things, they end up abandoning the word. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And so these are those who receive the word of God, but then the thorns represent the cares and pleasures of life, the things that people desire other than God. And those things eventually choke out the word of God so that it doesn't have life within an individual. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so there are those who do listen and there are those who hear. But Jesus anticipated that there would be objections. And by far the majority of people are probably going to object to our wanting to teach them about the Bible and to study the Bible with them. And they're not going to be receptive of God's word. But nevertheless, they're not going to be active in persecuting others. But we do need to know how to handle those kinds of objections, though. And Jesus tells us how to do it. He says that when you find such a household, that you are to shake the dust off your feet and then just move on to somewhere else. Or if a certain city is that way, then shake the dust off your feet as you're exiting that city or town and move on to another place. And so Jesus knew that some would not receive his disciples. He told them that they would not receive them, and he told them that they needed to expect that to happen. But Jesus didn't want his disciples to beg and plead with people. He didn't want them to sit there and act like, you know, the world was at an end because one or two people wouldn't receive the message. He simply gave us instructions to move on to more fertile ground when that happens. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6 these words, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. We need to be very wise when it comes to evangelizing others. We need to be careful how we present the message. We want to do it in love, and we want to do it with concern, and we want to present the message in truth. But at the same time, we don't want to create a situation where people are going to turn and like wild pigs, you know, come after us. Because that could be done if we don't present the message in a loving way. And so we're not supposed to cast our pearls before swine or give what is holy to the dogs, Jesus says. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. So Jesus wants us to evangelize others for him, but he wants us to know how to deal with objections. Now, as loving as we are and as kind as we are to others, when we seek to evangelize those who are around us, there are going to be serious objections. And there are going to be some who are going to completely reject the message, and they're going to reject the messenger as well. Now, Jesus talks about this in verses 16 through 26 here in Matthew chapter 10. Look at these verses. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in the city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. Well, let's stop there for just a moment as we think about Jesus anticipating rejection. Well, first of all, he talks about how some are going to be persecuted to the extent that they will be taken to a court of law and prosecuted. And he says, when that happens, just understand that that's going to happen, but that if that does happen, that God is going to be with you and he's going to take care of you. And so some are going to hate Christianity enough that they're going to take Christians and those who preach the gospel, they're going to take them to courts of law. Now, we've been very blessed in our country over the past couple of hundred years not to have such situations occur. But it seems like as the more and more our country becomes secular and the more the government becomes secular and humanistic, the more cases there seem to be of Christians being taken to court for what they believe and what they stand for. Now this, Jesus said, would happen. And it may very well happen in the future simply from the standpoint of doing what we're doing here today, that some may end up taking others to court simply for standing up and saying what the Bible preaches and what the Bible teaches. Well, Peter and John had to go before the courts in their particular time, and so that shouldn't surprise us that we would go before the courts as well. In one particular occasion, they came before the Sanhedrin Council in Acts chapter 5, and they were examined because they had been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around them. And the conclusion that the apostles reached on that occasion was this: we ought to obey God rather than men. They were threatened at that time with being beaten and scourged, and they were even threatened with their lives later on. But they continued to preach and teach the gospel. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 that he had been in prison oftentimes. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often." It may very well be that ministers of the gospel will eventually be imprisoned for what they preach and teach today as the country becomes more and more secular. But Jesus said we should anticipate these rejections and we should in fact expect them. Some, however, are going to be rejected by their own families. Jesus tells us that in verses 21 through 23. Brother is going to deliver brother to death, and father, child, and children will rise up against their parents, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Verse 22. A little bit later on in the context, in verses 34 through 37, Jesus has this to say. He says, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And so Jesus understood the nature of the message that he brought. And that message was going to bring division. And it was even going to bring division between families, between fathers and mothers, between husbands and wives, between parents and children. And all of these divisions would take place because of the nature of the message of the gospel. It is a message of self-sacrifice. It is a message that demands that God take priority within our lives. And some people just are not willing to give in to that message today. They want to serve self. They want to fulfill their own desires. And those desires are going to take priority in their life, and then that will result in division with among families, even as the gospel is preached in practice today. Certainly, that's not God's desire. God doesn't want families to be separated. God doesn't want people to fall out of fellowship with one another. But in order for us to be saved, in order for us to remain faithful, in order for us to have the ultimate unity and fellowship that we find in God and Christ, He must be put as a priority within our lives. And that is the thing that Jesus was trying to get across here in this context. Those who do not love the truth are going to persecute those who do love the truth. And that's something we talked about in our Bible class this morning from the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That there would be some who gave up and fell away because they did not love the truth. We need to love the truth. And we need to love Christ. And we need to love God. And we need to put those things first in our life. But as we go out and evangelize others, we need to recognize that some are going to reject us, and even some from our own families are going to reject us. But Jesus taught us that the rejection of us is actually a rejection of Him. And that's something that we need to remember so that we don't take these rejections personally. You know, sometimes we can do that. We can take that rejection personally and we can allow it to create a further problem within our life as a result of that. Well, that's not something that Christ wants us to do. But He does want us to recognize that a rejection of His disciples is a rejection of Him. Look at what He says in verse 24, 25, and 26. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will he call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And so as we think about these rejections, we recognize that we're doing this because we're disciples of Christ. And if they reject Him, they're going to reject us. But really, it's a rejection of Him. Well, we can't afford to let those rejections motivate us not to preach the gospel, not to be faithful to Christ. We've got to think about those things, and we've got to understand that those rejections are going to come our way. But we can't let fear control us in that regard. And so that's why Jesus says, "Do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known." Fear can be a great motivator within our life. It can cause us to shrink back. It can cause us to shrivel up. It can cause us not to want to do the things that God wants us to do. But John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Love is the opposite of fear. And if we're going to overcome our fears, we need to let our love for one another grow. And we need to let our love for the lost grow. So that we don't allow those fears to prevent us from doing what Christ wants us to do. And so as we think about objections and rejections, we know that there's great challenges before us. But Jesus encourages us to be courageous. And that's the next point that we want to discuss here. As we think about preaching and teaching the gospel to others and going out and evangelizing, we need to be courageous. Look at verses 27 through verses 33 for just a moment. "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for the copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We need to be courageous. Jesus says, what I tell you in the dark, you go out and you preach to the housetops. Don't fear those who are able to kill the body and not able to destroy the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. We need to fear the one who has eternal life at stake. And that is, of course, God and Christ. We need to respect them. And we need to let them motivate us. And the love that we have for them motivate us. Not fear, as we mentioned earlier. Being courageous means that we go out and do things in the face of great obstacles. In the face of great challenges. In the face of knowing we're going to be rejected, in the face of knowing there's going to be objections, we go out and we preach the gospel anyway. We read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42 of the apostles, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I would to God that that could be said of us today. That we would go out and not cease preaching Jesus as the Christ. You see, God knows what is happening within our lives. He sees everything that goes on. He's there with us. He's spurring us on. He is letting us know that I am there with you and you can be courageous in going forth and telling others about the message of my son Jesus. In Hebrews 13 and verses 5 and 6, we read these words. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yes, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Jesus told us he didn't want us to be ashamed, but he told us that he wanted us to confess him publicly before men, and that if we would do that, that he would be with us. And so let's go out and let's be courageous in the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And then finally, as we go out and are evangelists for Jesus Christ, let us remember that God rewards the faithful. Look at verses 40 through 42. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Those that receive the message of Christ receive Christ himself. And those who receive Christ himself receive the Father of Jesus. And they have fellowship with him and with one another. Jesus said that he is not going to forget our labors. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward him or toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And even the smallest act of concern, the smallest act of evangelism that we conduct on behalf of Christ, he is going to remember that. Notice verse 42. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall no wise lose his reward. Jesus sees all. He knows all. He knows everything that we're doing. He knows our efforts. He knows when we're trying and when we're not trying. And he is going to reward those efforts, regardless of how small they are. The world only looks at the big things. The world only looks at things that they think are great. You know, and looking at all of those big and great things, sometimes we think, well, there's no way that I can accomplish all those things. There's no way that I can do all of those things that these great people do. Well, Jesus says, you don't have to. All you got to do is do what you can do. And he knows when you're trying. And he knows when you're not trying. And so he will understand. But even the smallest act of evangelism is remembered. You know, one of the greatest stories in the book of Acts, I think, in Acts chapter 9, is the story of a lady named Dorcas, or Tabitha. And she was a wonderful woman. She didn't do great deeds of evangelism and go out and baptize thousands of people, but she did what she could. And what she could do was to make clothing for widows in her town. And that's what she did. And when she passed away, there was such a great lamentation over her. Peter came through at that time. And because she did such a great work, even though it was a small work, because she did such a great work, when Peter came through and saw how many were weeping the departure of this wonderful godly woman, he ended up raising her from the dead. And so God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of love that you have shown toward his name. So let's remember that God rewards the faithful. And let's be faithful. Let's go out and evangelize for Christ. Let's remember these lessons that Jesus gives us here in Matthew chapter 10 about evangelism. And let's remember that God wants us to be evangelists for him. First of all, let's remember and know how to deal with objections. Secondly, let's remember that everyone is going to experience some rejection at some time. And let's expect that rejection to come our way and know how to deal with it. But let's be courageous, even in the face of these objections. And let's remember that God rewards the faithful. We can do more to evangelize this community. I know that we can. We can do more to take the gospel to the lost of those around us in this world. I know that we can. We need to preach the truth in love, as Paul taught us to do in Ephesians chapter 4. And as we do that, as we have opportunities to present the gospel of Christ to others, let's be loving, let's be kind. But let's understand the lessons that Jesus taught on evangelism and apply those lessons to our life. Do you need to heed the gospel of Christ this morning? If you're not a Christian, Jesus wants you to be evangelized. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to be faithful to him so that you can have the hope of eternal life with him someday in heaven. Would you respond to his message of love and mercy and kindness and concern this morning by becoming a Christian, by becoming a child of God this very hour? You can do that through hearing his word and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins this very day. Become a child of God. Become a follower of Christ. Become a disciple. Be courageous and step forward. And do what is right in the sight of God. If you're a Christian and you need help in your life, the church stands ready to pray with you and for you. Whatever help you may need in that regard, we will be happy to discuss those things with you. And so whatever your need may be this morning, you can come now and make your request known while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.